Well, my name's Ken. I'm the senior pastor here at Every Nation Melbourne, and it is the 1st of December. So if you have a little advent calendar, maybe that you open it this morning. That's what we did in our family. And there were 6 gummy bears in there, and the kids ate them all. And but one thing that we're doing, I heard this somewhere, is that before we open up the advent calendar, we're reading through the Gospel of Luke. So it's quite a long chapter this morning, 67 verses. But my kids, somehow, they sat there long enough for me to read the first chapter of Luke, and we're going to read all the way through the Gospel of Luke. That's 24 chapters. So on Christmas Eve, we're going to finish the Gospel, the story of Jesus. And we're putting Jesus back into Christmas, putting the Christ back into Christmas. Because, it's Christmas season, right? And that's when our businesses, that's when the advertising industry really kicks into overdrive. And our culture has a lot to say about Christmas, but so does God. And what we're doing is, over the next 4 weeks, we are, with many other churches around the Every Nation world, we're doing this series on Hope Has Come. And we're looking at today, particularly this phrase that Jesus was born of a woman, or this concept that Jesus of the incarnation. That's a theological term, but we're going to break it down a little bit, and we're going to be exploring some different ideas over the next few weeks regarding Christmas. Because Christmas is coming, and that might mean different things to you. That might bring about a whole bunch of great memories. That might bring about some negative memories. Actually, one of the loneliest periods of our society here in Australia is Christmas. People, that's why we're having an open house. We have an open house at our place because we believe, putting into practice the whole idea of biblical hospitality, of inviting and serving. We believe in People shouldn't be alone on Christmas, right? And so if you have nowhere to go, because Kieran and I, we've grown up doing student ministry, and we've worked with lots of international students, and we want to give them a taste of an Aussie Christmas, which is, a bit, there's no snow here or whatever. We still have like glazed ham and other roast products, but we have a barbecue. But we open it up because we want people to not be alone. Christmas can be a very isolating time, a time that's alone. But Christmas is coming, so maybe it's a good thing. Maybe that brings great memories of family getting together. Maybe that brings bad memories of family getting together, depending on the family that you come from. So maybe Christmas coming is a good thing, maybe it's not. But definitely our culture has something to say about Christmas. They really, in some ways, if you were just to be a Martian coming from the planet Mars and landed in the middle of Melbourne on in the lead up to Christmas, you might think that Christmas was Santa Claus's birthday. That, the main character of Christmas is Santa Claus. And that's, Santa Claus is a very inoffensive kind of character, I suppose, if you're into old white men with beards who give away gifts. And, you have this guy, Santa Claus, but he's almost like the main character. But it's not. Santa Claus's name isn't in the word Christmas. Jesus' name is Christ. Christmas. Our culture has something to say about Christmas, about Christmas. It's secularized. It's trying to strip Jesus out of it, trying to commercialize it, trying to, improve the bottom line, trying to earn a buck through this holy time, a holy time. I want to put the holiness back into this holy season. Holy isn't just moral purity. It's set apart. This is a season that can be set apart for Jesus. And so I don't want to be caught up in the stream of what our culture does. And so that's why we're doing this series, because as Christians, we believe something about Christmas, and we proclaim something at Christmas time. At Christmas, we proclaim that hope has come at Christmas. That's the name of this series. Hope has come. Really, hope has come. Good news has come. The gospel has come at Christmas. Let's have it. So we're going to be going into this. The idea of incarnation, this theological term of incarnation, that God has come into human history. That God, in the person of Jesus, so the Son of God, became a human, became a man, and lived 2,000 years ago, was born of a virgin and grew up to live out his mission and his calling. The incarnation, that God has come into human history. Next week we're looking at this idea of redemption, that God has not only come into human history just so we can walk around and say, oh wow, isn't it nice being a human? He came in with a mission. He came in to set humans free from slavery. That's the idea of redemption. If there was a slave, you could redeem a slave by paying the price to set them free. And that's what Jesus has done. He has come into human history, incarnation, to set us free, redemption. And then, finally, the last 2 weeks, we're going to be looking at this concept of adoption. Not only has he come into human history, not only has he come into human history to set us free from slavery, but he's come into human history to set us free so that we could be a part of his family, so that we could be invited into the family of God. Not just incarnation, not just redemption, but adoption into the family of God. If you were a Christian here today and you're male, you can say, I'm a son of God. If you're a Christian here today and you're female, you can say, I'm a daughter of God. I'm part of the royal family. You know, there's a bit of scandal at the moment with the British royal family, but in God's royal family, there isn't scandal because Jesus has taken that away, no matter what you've done. Now maybe that ministers to you today, this idea of adoption, looking to be part of family. You know, my wife was adopted. My dad was adopted. You know? And there's something powerful about human adoption, isn't there? But divine adoption, I mean, that's the next level, adoption. So we're looking at this idea of incarnation, this idea of redemption, this idea of adoption. And it all comes from one passage, not your typical Christmas passage. We're going to be looking at Galatians, but this part of the New Testament speaks of all these things. It speaks of this hope that has come. Once again, our culture is proclaiming one thing about Christmas, but we proclaim another thing. We believe another thing. We declare something else about Christmas. It's not just the roast turkey has come at Christmas. It's not just the glazed ham has come at Christmas, or the prawn cocktail has come at Christmas. All these gifts, the latest, you know, Air Jordans or the latest computer game or whatever, that's not the thing that's come at Christmas only. I mean, nothing against those things. But actually, hope has come at Christmas. So, here we are, Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. This is Paul writing to the church in Galatia. There's a controversy going on. Who knows that sometimes churches have controversies? There was a controversy in the early church in Galatia, and the controversy was that people were coming in and saying, yes, give your life to Jesus, yes, serve Jesus, but also if you're male, you need to be circumcised. And, you know, you can imagine that for a lot of the Gentile believers who weren't circumcised, they weren't really too keen to go through this procedure. And the people who had a Jewish background, who were followers of Jesus, some of them have said, you know, this is what you need to do. You need to do this to show your commitment to Jesus. And Paul's saying, no, you don't need to do this. You just need to give your life to Jesus. You don't need to become a cultural Jew. You just need to be a disciple of Jesus. And so he's writing into this controversy and he's talking about what Jesus has done. So we pick it up here, Galatians chapter 4 verse 1. What I am saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. The heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by the father. So also when we were underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. So here Paul is just contrasting, he's speaking to his controversy, he's contrasting the idea of those under the law and those under grace. And then the next verse, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. It's quite a dense passage, but to sum it all up, hope has come. In that passage, it speaks of hope, speaks of being, of Jesus being born of a woman, coming into our world, speaks of us being set free from slavery, speaks of the idea of being not just set free from slavery, but the God who sent his son sends his spirit into us, the spirit of his son, so that we can cry out, Abba, Father, that we have a father. And by implication, we have an inheritance. Who loves an inheritance? You know, I don't want to sound cruel, but I can't wait. No, keep living, Mum, keep going. I can wait. But you know, if you're a child, you have an inheritance. That's powerful. That's hopeful. There's hope in that. So, but today we're going to be focusing on this one verse, Galatians 4 verse 4. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son as a baby, born of a woman, born under the law. So we're just going to break this down and we're going to look at the hope that is represented. more than all the hope that the world could offer. You know, don't you? You know, I suppose we have hope of receiving a certain kind of present. You know, I was. Do you remember that feeling when you got a present that you'd been waiting for all year? I remember a feeling one time I got a present. It was a shower head. My wife had wrapped up a shower head for me, and I remember unwrapping it and thinking, what's this? This is, what are you saying, babe, about my hygiene practices that you've given me a shower head? And I could feel the hope just drain from my body, just like, oh well, maybe next year. I suppose there's always hope for next year, right? But when the set time had fully come, God has sent his son. So let's have a look at that first part. Oh, sorry, not the first part, but look at this, born of a woman. So, you know, I mentioned this before about how sometimes Christmas, even though our world is secularizing and commercializing it, it can actually be quite an alienating time. It can be quite an isolating time. It can be like you can be going through a whole bunch of things. And isn't it interesting that at the end, Christmas comes at the end of the year. We've gone through a whole calendar year and we divide our years, our life up into these segments. As we travel around the sun, we divide these into years, right? And we think, what have I achieved this year? What has gone on this year? What are the things that I've gone through this year? And it's this idea of, you know, maybe it's been hard. Maybe I've gone through hard things. And then we get to this place where, well, no one understands what I've been through. No one's gone through what I've been through. I've had to deal with all these. I've got this boss at work that no one else can understand the way he's treating me, or all these different issues can come up. We think, you know, what's going on? No one knows what it's like. It can be, who's ever said that? Who's ever thought that in a period of like, I'm going through this stuff and no one knows what it's like? I know I have. You know, there's this song, Behind Blue Eyes. No one, I sing it to myself. I sing that song to myself when I'm down because I feel like no one knows what it's like. No one knows what it's like to be in the sad man. And it keeps going. And it just makes me more depressed to sing it. But, you know, sometimes you wallow in that self-pity. But, you know, one of the most frustrating experiences of humans is to not be understood. One of the most isolating experiences. We go through all this stuff and we feel like no one knows what it's like. But at Christmas time, hope has come. The hope of that someone can understand us. Not just somebody, but the hope that God can understand us. You know, we can think of God as all the way out there and far away and he's disconnected from us. But in reality, he's become us. You know, there's the other song, right? What if God was one of us? Just a slob on the bus. I don't know, I can't remember the lyrics fully. A stranger on the bus. Sample? Okay. Maybe Adil can help me out here. But you know, but God is one of us. God did become one of us. That's the hope of Christmas. The hope of the incarnation. He isn't just far out there, but he became one of us. Hope has come at Christmas. The hope of someone able to have empathy, someone able to have understanding. That's good news. There's good news that comes at Christmas. Hope comes at Christmas that God can understand us. And it might feel like, we might even sing it over ourselves that no one knows what it's like, but God knows what it's like. Hebrews chapter 4 talks about our high priest who has complete understanding of all that we've gone through, being tempted in every way, just like us, being tempted in every way like us, except without sin. Someone who's gone through it all. God seems far away at times, and that feeling can feel really real. And I suppose there's some truth in the fact because sometimes we run away from God. But no matter how far we run away, the reality is he became a human. He became incarnate. He put on flesh. God, the Son, became a man at Christmas. Not just became a man, became a baby boy. At Christmas time, we remember that Jesus came very close, came to experience what you experience. So he knows what it's like. He knows exactly what it is. Not only did he come close, he became vulnerable. You know, I looked at little Maxine walking around. She's like this tall. She's tiny. And I think Jesus was that big at one point. That's amazing. He knows what it's like. He knows what it's like to grow. He knows what it's like to be rejected. He knows what it's like to be hurt. He knows what it's like to be misunderstood. He knows what it's like to be hungry, to weep,
to laugh, to celebrate. And he came close. That's the good news that we can offer, the hope that we can offer. Born of a woman, the hope of understanding. Someone understands me. Someone understands you. So Galatians 4 verse 4, when the set time had fully come, life can seem random at times. And, you know, there's a whole worldview out there that all that happens in this world is pure chance. It's purely random. Life is random. Where you were born was random. What you're doing is determined by factors that are cosmic and outside of your control. And that really, in the end, when it's over, it's over. So that really life is random and meaningless. That's a naturalistic worldview. A lot of people subscribe to that. And I think even at times we can think as Christians that life is random and meaningless at times. No one knows what it's like, and who am I to think that my life matters? And these are the questions, the lies I can speak over myself, that I have spoken over myself. No one knows what it's like. No, Jesus knows what it's like. He's coming. That's the hope. Who am I to think that my life matters? Well, God has a plan, and he executes it at the right time. So when the set time had fully come, Jesus came, born of a woman. Hope has come at Christmas, the hope of sovereignty, the hope that someone is in control. The hope of someone good being in control has come at Christmas. If you think about the Christmas story, it seems like Mary and Joseph were at the whim of cosmic forces, right? There's governors, there's Caesar. Caesar makes a decree. Is it Caesar or a governor? Some Roman official says that you need to go back to your hometown to be counted. So for the whole purpose of taxation, I'm going to tax the whole world. We need more money. We need better records. We're going to update our details. Now everyone has to travel back. No matter how far it is, go on travel. Oh, but we're pregnant. No, well, there's no excuse. You know, at Christmas, we're reminded that God's in control. It's not the Roman Empire. It's not your boss isn't in control. Your past actions aren't in control. It's not what people think about you that are in control. It's God who's in control. You know, we can think that life is random and meaningless, and all sorts of things have happened in 2019. Some of them have been great things, awesome. Some of them have been negative things. Some of them are kind of neutral or whatever, a little bit indifferent. There's a whole spectrum of things that have happened to us. And at different times we can think, well, what has my life achieved? What's gone on? But over it all, you're not here by accident. God has a set time for you. God has a set time for you. Hope has come at Christmas. The hope that someone who is good is in control. It's not your boss. It's not your past. It's God. God is in control of your life. Christmas reminds us who's in control. God has a plan and he will bring it to fruition. Let me ask you this question. What setback have you suffered this year? What injustice? You know what? You can have hope this Christmas. Because at the set time, when the set time had fully come, Jesus came. You can have hope this Christmas that nothing is wasted in God's timing. Every tear that's shed, every anguish question, every fist shake. Anyone ever shaking their fist at God in a dramatic, God, why? I've done it a few times. Give it a go. It's kind of cathartic. It just gets it out. God can take it. God, why? But it's not meaningless. None of that stuff is meaningless. It's not wasted. He has a plan. He'll bring it to fruition. Nothing is wasted in God's timing. No pain, no hurt, no breakthrough. It's all part of his plan. At the right time, God will reveal his promise to you. When the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman. You know, it's actually quite easy to live your life without a sense of purpose, without a sense of destiny. I know my big testimony, my big story is, I got into Melbourne University. I did quite well at high school, got into the best university in the world, was studying science and engineering. My wife actually did better at high school, but for some reason she went to Monash. And I hated going to university. I hated the course that I was doing. I was just going to university and I was going through the motions. I'd wake up, catch the bus and go to the train, catch the train all the way in, get off the bus, catch the tram up, you know, up past here to Melbourne University, go to my lectures. First semester, I was, you know, quite diligent, straight H1s, first class honours. Then afterwards, it was just like P's. It's like P's get degrees. Because I just lost, I really didn't see any purpose in what I was doing. I had no sense of destiny, had no destination that I was aiming for. But hope came to me in Jesus. And Jesus gave me a purpose for my life. He gave me a destination for my life. We can live our lives without a sense of destiny. We can live our lives without a sense of a destination of where we're going, of or a purpose that we were made for. But the hope of a God-given direction and destination has come at Christmas. God sent his Son. God the Father has a plan. And it has a time for that plan. And he has an actor, i.e. Jesus the Son. And he has a direction for him to go. He has a place for him to arrive at. And that's all I wanted as a young man. Let me turn my phone off because everyone's messaging each other. And I'm part of that group. There we go. Now, the hope of a God-given direction and destination has come at Christmas. That's all that I was looking for. I was living without a hope that God had a plan for my life. But hope has come at Christmas. The hope of purpose, of a God-given direction and destiny. There is hope in God's plan for you. You know, if you don't even know what God's plan for your life is, you can have hope that there is a plan and he will reveal it to you at the right time. You know, you might be young. There's a few young guys. I think of Marcus. How old are you, Marcus? 15? 14. Come on, man. 4 more years. We can go drinking together. And, in an irresponsible way. And, pastors don't normally say stuff like that, do they? But, you know, 4 more years, you'll probably be at university, right? But God has a plan and a purpose for you, Marcus. He made you. He made you unique, right? Just like he made all of us unique. He has a plan and a purpose for all of us. When he made you, he broke the mold. You know, Psalm 139, before there was yet one of them, each of my days was written down in your book. You know, I like to think that there's a book in heaven with Ken Johnson written on it. And before I was even born, each day was written down. Before there was one of them, each of my days was written in your book. You know, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. We're all fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, I've got big ears, I know. But that's part of God's sense of humour, I think, and making me fearfully and wonderfully made. But we're all unique. We're all made in a certain way. And if we don't do what God calls us to do, then who can, right? No one can fulfill what God has called Marcus to do. No one can fulfill what God has called me to do. No one can fulfill what God's called Matt to do, except for each of us individually. But we all get to help each other in that journey. The hope of God's plan comes at Christmas. Not just God's plan for us individually, the hope of God's plan for us as a church, the hope of God's plan for us as humanity. God the Father sent God the Son. God the Father sent God the Son. So he can send you. God the Father has a plan for God the Son so he can tell you of his plan for you. Each and every single one of you here, God has a plan for your life. And God sent his Son so he can send you. Jeff, do you mind just jumping up here with me? Thanks, bro. So, you know, just wrapping up, you know, hope has come at Christmas. Okay, yeah, slides are out of order. Hope came at the first Christmas as a baby placed in the manger. And that's what we celebrate, right? It's not the birthday of Santa Claus. It's the celebration of the birth of Jesus, the celebration of his incarnation, that God became a human. God the Son became a human. So someone does know what it's like. Someone does know what it's like. So my life does matter. My life does have a destination, has a purpose. God wants to send me, you know. Different times I thought, what's the point, God? This is useless. No, Ken, it's not useless. I'm sending you. Hope came at the first Christmas as a baby placed in a manger. And going back to this slide. This Christmas, this is what I'm challenging all of you guys with. This Christmas, hope comes looking like you. You have hope to offer. Going all the way back to what I said before, our culture says something about Christmas, but we say something different. We offer something different. You know, Kmart's offering certain things at Christmas. What are you offering? What do the people of God offer at Christmas time? Well, we offer hope. We offer hope. We offer the hope that people who feel like no one knows what it's like, we say, you know what? I do know what it's like because I've been through something like that and God brought me through. Or I don't know what you're going through right now, but I know someone who does know what you're going through right now and they can help you. That person's Jesus. We can offer that hope this Christmas. We can offer the hope of, you know what? God is in control. I have no answer for what your problem is right now. This tragedy, this issue that you're going through, this relational thing, this financial thing, this family thing, this, you know, work blank, this visa, whatever it is that you're going through, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. It looks hopeless, but I know that there's hope in God. So at Christmas, we can offer that. And there are people all around us in this season who have hopelessness. And what we can offer is the hope that someone does know what it's like. Maybe you know what it's like because God brought you through it. But at the very least, you know God who knows what it's like. Maybe it's, you know, the fact that they don't have a purpose for their life. I don't know what I'm here for. No, God made you. And there's a hope that He has a plan and a purpose for you. He wants to send you. We can offer this hope. Hope has come this Christmas looking like you. You've been through things or are going through things, but you have a hope in you. You can offer that to people who are going through similar things. Hope has come this Christmas looking like you. Your time has come. God has a plan for you. God sent His Son and He has sent you as well. Hope is powerful. Hope is what God gives us. Isn't it? That's what God, when it all comes down to it, is hope. Hope in Him. Hope that He's not just a wishful, sometimes we think of hope as wishful thinking. I hope I win the lottery. Yeah, that's, we all do, right? But this hope that I'm talking about is this certainty based on the character of God. I have a hope in God. Hope has come this Christmas. Hope is powerful. Hope is what God gives us. Hope is what we give others. I want you guys to enjoy Christmas. You know? Buy presents. Enjoy lots of great food. Connect with, how many parties, Christmas parties are you guys going to already? You know, sometimes it can seem like it's just, there's too much work to be, there's too many parties to go to. It's almost like a full-time job to go to Christmas parties. And, but I love them, especially when there's karaoke involved. And, I want you guys to enjoy Christmas. Celebrate it. Even no matter what the world is doing with Christmas, you celebrate Christmas. Celebrate it the way it's meant to be celebrated. Celebrate it as an act of worship to God. Connect with people, love people, serve people. Enjoy this Christmas season. Have fun. Enjoy the presents that you get. You know, my kids, they'll get some presents. They'll enjoy them for like the 2 days that they're working. Then they break and then they're not working anymore. I think this year we might get a ping pong table. So, that could be fun. That should last more than 2 days. But you have something to offer. And we don't always have the right answer to offer. But like it says up here, when you don't know what to offer, offer hope. Just a quick testimony. I remember sharing this before, but it's worthwhile sharing it again. I was contacted by a pastor from the Philippines, from Bacolod, and he said he had a friend, a college friend, who's not a Christian, whose daughter was in intensive care with the flu. The flu was just rabid, a 7-year-old daughter, and it really struck me because I have a 7-year-old daughter. And so this 7-year-old girl was dying of the flu. She's at the Royal Children's Hospital. I live in Brunswick, not far from the Royal Children's Hospital. I said, look, I live nearby. I want to go and I'll pray for this family. Can I go and pray? And he put me in contact with his friend, his college friend, who's not a Christian, so this pastor in the Philippines, in Bacolod. And I went to the Royal Children's Hospital to these people I've never met before. And there's this young girl who's dying. And the time, you know, it's God's timing. God sent me at the right time, when the time had fully come. It was the perfect timing because as
It was a critical moment in her treatment because she was on like a life support system that had to be detached from her to be cleaned out. And so they were going through this procedure to clean this life support system that was connected to her. I was there at the same time as that was happening. And I prayed for the parents. And I said, you know what? You know, I'm so sorry this is happening. I'm so sorry that you have to go through this. I'm a pastor, putting, I understand that you don't believe, but, you know, I do. And, you know, can I pray? Can I pray for your daughter? And, you know, I think there's hope. When I had nothing else to offer, I offered hope. I just said, I think there's hope. I think there's hope in Jesus that he can do something. And Kira stayed in contact with the family. And over the next few weeks, she got better and better and better. And they were worried about her full recovery and the therapy she might need to undergo. But she's nearly fully recovered, right? I didn't know what to offer, but I offered hope. And God did the rest. A seven-year-old girl, just like my soon-to-be seven-year-old girl, the last day that she's seven, she's going to be eight, just a little girl, life changed because someone offered hope. Hope has come at this Christmas. Hope came at their first Christmas because of Jesus, and because he came, when a set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman. Because hope came at the first Christmas, hope can come through you this Christmas. And when you, and this is all it is. It's like, oh, Ken, I don't know what to do. And when you don't know what to offer, offer hope. It's all you have to do. Let God do the rest. And remember to have fun this Christmas. Lots and lots of fun. And if you want to get me a gift, I'm trying to build my polo shirt collection. So we'll see how we go. Thanks, guys. Awesome. Thank you.